Broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue. Our post office box number is 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. This is Pastor H.G. Gale speaking, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the worship of this hour, and may the grace of our God rest upon us. Our Father, Thou hast sustained our need this past hour. We thank You for it. We look to Thee, our covenant-keeping God, a God full of mercy and compassion, a God that loves His people, who loves His people, who cares for them. And our Lord Jesus, guide us and lead us through this hour. We thank You for the hours gone. The voice of truth went out this morning, the Bible school of the air. Let Thy richest blessings rest upon them. And may our Father, Thy people will be refreshed, comforted, encouraged in the Lord. May it give a longing, a yearning in the hearts of awakened sinners to come to Christ. And our Father, we pray for this hour. Give us the message You'll have us bring. Deal with every heart. Be with everyone out there in radio land listening to us at this time. Be with the sick. We trust them in Your hands. You'll bless them. And our Father, Thy will be done in their lives. For Christ's sake, we ask it, and for His sake, amen. Now let us turn to number 307. Sunlight.
I wonder if you have sunlight in your heart.
Sunlight in the soul. Christ is there. Christ is that light. I praise the Lord for it. Lights our path. Well, let's sing another song. 442. Jesus, Lover of My Soul. All right. Come on and sing it.
Whatever way you can sing it, come on and sing it.
To thy bosom fly. Wouldn't you love to go there now? Saint, wouldn't you like to go there? Wouldn't you like for him to catch you up? Catch you up? To be by his side? Then all the sorrows and strugglings and everything would be over with, huh? But that's not his designs, and so we're satisfied to be where he wants us to be. When he gets good and ready, he'll take us up. And he'll take us home to be with him forevermore. And let us not forget the statement I made last Sunday in regards to our three new tape machines, our three machines that we need in order for us to carry on getting out the messages by tape. We need one for the control room up here and two for the tape studio. And the cost of one will run between $2,000 to $2,500. I may be speaking to someone today who may want to purchase one of those tape machines. I believe says around $2,000 to $2,500. And like some man last Sunday, no sooner I mentioned it to him, he said, I'll buy one. And maybe there might be someone here this morning out in radio land. If you cannot buy the whole thing, you might want to give a good offering towards the tape machine. And we'll have three new tape machines and get that out of the way. Then we can start something else. We're hoping in the near future to get started with our flooring and pews. I'm looking forward to it. And we have enough money to go ahead and get started and get most of the work done. But we do need these three new machines. And I appreciate it very much if you will help us. Whatever you can give, maybe some of you give $25, $50, $75, maybe $100. Or maybe you want to give $1,000, whatever the Lord lays upon your heart to give. We certainly appreciate it. Just put it in the envelope or send it to me here at our address, Radio Missions, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, Post Office Box 70174. Is that it? Yeah. Post Office Box number 70174. And we appreciate it very much. Now, I have a message for you this morning the Lord laid upon my heart. And it's blessed my heart through the week as thinking upon it. In the midst of all tribulations and testings, the workings of Satan is not the type of message that probably I would have loved to have brought, but it's a message that we all need as believers, as God's children. If you're saved, such comfort, that the comforts that we can derive from such a message. Now, I wonder how many of us are familiar with the 23rd Psalm. I want us to turn there in the 23rd Psalm. And I would that this message would bless your heart like it's blessed mine. I'm hoping. And after a while, when we get so far into the message, I'm going to have my son come up here. And he's going to accompany me on the organ. I have something I want to read in connection with this message. It's a gracious psalm. Let's read through it. The 23rd Psalm, just 6 verses, but oh, how it's packed with comfort, encouragement. We will not get through the 6 today, perhaps maybe the first 2 verses, because I have a lot to say. But I'm glad that I have a Lord Shepherd. Not only my Lord, but he's my shepherd. And I came across that, those thoughts, it got a hold of me. Lord Shepherd. And that's what he is. I didn't find it written anywhere else, but the thought got a hold of me. My Lord Shepherd. He's my Lord. My ruler, my governor. But then he's my shepherd. When we consider ourselves as the sheep, as a sheep, as a lamb, in the midst of wolves, then we think about him as our shepherd, who guards us against the wolves, protects us. I've been resting comfortably this week in his fold, just resting comfortably. As we were getting attacks here and there from Satan, thinking about this work founded on Christ, how God is continuing it, and how the old devil is going about trying to destroy it, thereby shutting perhaps the last door where the truth is preached without compromise, where the gospel is preached in the power of God's Holy Spirit. But this psalm is full of comforts and expression for every child of God, as well as was with me this week. And let's begin with the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I often used to think about that phrase, I shall not want, in regards to probably eating and feeding and having enough material things. But it struck me a different way this week. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that this morning? That He's your shepherd? I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that a wonderful song? Isn't that? So we can say that this psalm is full of comforts and expressions of delight in God's great goodness and our dependence upon Him. The child of God should expect nothing but good things from the Lord. Let me repeat that again. The child of God should expect nothing but good things from the Lord, who is our great shepherd. David infers that he should want no good, as you see in verse 1 there. I should want no good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And that he need to fear no evil, as verse 4 tells us. No evil. No evil manipulation by the enemy. Nothing to fear. Like someone said, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. But that's not true. We have nothing to fear. I shall fear no evil. In other words, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then again, I shall fear no evil. Surely, we can say with David, with full assurance, that God would never forsake us in any way of mercy. He will never withdraw His mercy from us, friends. Never will. We might think at times He has, but He never will. Never withdraw His mercies from us. And because of that, the believer resolves never to leave nor forsake God. Just as much as that sinner resolves in his heart, I'm coming to Christ. And so as much as knowing the mercies of God and that we shall never want, then the believer resolves never to leave nor forsake Him in a way of service to Him. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth me. Now you see, he knew the love of Christ in reality. And Paul never gave it one thought to forsake the Lord. Yes, he was discouraged at times. He was in fears and doubts, like he tells us. And many times in sufferings, untold sufferings. But he said, the love of Christ constrained me to go on. We are saved by hope, and that hope will not make us ashamed, because that hope is well grounded in Christ. And I was thinking about a construction worker this morning along this line, electrician, goes to put the wire into the house, and he has to ground that wire, that house, to preserve it from storms or lightning. Because if it's not grounded, lightning strikes that house, it could easily be destroyed. But because it is grounded, it's well grounded, therefore when the lightning strikes it, instead of damaging the house, that lightning goes down into the ground, and therefore protecting the house, because the ground becomes a safety, its protection. And I got to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every believer is well grounded in Christ. The justice of God's wrath, the vengeance was poured out upon our Lord on the cross. He took the awful judgment. As we might say, the lightning, it struck Him. And therefore, where lightning has struck, it can never strike again. Now you think about that. He bore our judgment. He bore my sins in His own body on the tree. He took the curse. He became a curse for me. He bore the lightning flashes of God's justice, and thereby saving me. And every individual in Christ is well grounded in Him, protected, preserved in Him. Is that wonderful? Now, are those comforts of His gracious? Listen, this psalm should be a great comfort to all who have obtained a good hope through grace. When David's enemies were endeavoring to bring destruction upon him, he said the Lord's shepherd had prepared a table before him in the very presence of his enemies, thus giving him the assurance that he never would leave him. And I've seen it so clear this week, and I've seen it before, but I guess I'll see more of it as the old dragon, the old serpent is going about to intimidate us, to try to overthrow us, and use all kind of different craftiness and perverting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that my Lord Shepherd is with us, preserving us, protecting us, comforting us, and giving us the assurance that He would never leave us. In the midst of it all, my soul was calm. Calmness. We'll see a little bit more about that. The psalm, therefore, may be regarded as consisting of two main parts. First, the assurance that God would always so provide for David and for his people so that they would never want, as verse 1 states. Second, the grounds or reasons for this confidence. Now, let's look at that first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, this was personal to David. This was personal to David. This week I wasn't going around saying that, you know, the Lord is the shepherd of Brother Malone Son or Brother Messer or so and so. No, I've been going alone. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Now, this is personal. This was personal to David. Can you say that? The Lord is my shepherd.
Now, this was personal to David. It is as if he said, if he be a shepherd to no one else, he is a shepherd to me. Isn't that so? Just like salvation in Christ is personal. Whether he saved anyone else or not, I know not. But I know one thing, he saved me. And I know one thing, he redeemed me. That's personal to me. He may have saved others, but he saved me. He saved me. Isn't that wonderful? He cares for me, watches over me, and preserves me. Listen, my friends, no matter whatever be the believer's position, he is always under the watchful care of the Good Shepherd. Doesn't matter what the circumstances, the position might be. David was once a shepherd himself. He had a shepherd's heart. He knew what he was speaking about. He knew he was speaking of. We read in Psalm 78, 70 and 71st verses, he chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So David was at one time a shepherd. You might say shepherd boy himself. Grew up on the great shepherd fields, tended the flocks. He knew what it was to take care of the sheep, the ewes, and so forth. And so he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ as such, his shepherd. So David knew by experience the cares and tender affections of a good shepherd towards the flock. He remembered what need they had of a shepherd, and one who was skillful and faithful, and would show kindness unto them. One who would protect them from the wolves and the lions. David once risked his life to rescue a lamb, as you will read in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. Now by this, David illustrates God's care of his people. I want us to turn to the 10th chapter of John. And we read there about the great shepherd. The 10th chapter of John. In that 11th verse, the 10th chapter of John, I am the thief, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He that is the shepherd of Israel, of the whole church in general, is the shepherd of every born-again believer. Now, get this thought here. No man has a right to consider himself the Lord's sheep unless his nature has been changed. You have God's divine nature, that new nature that comes with the new birth. Then you're God's child. You're one of the sheep. But unless your nature's been changed, you can never consider yourself as a sheep of the great shepherd. The Bible's description of the unconverted
is not one as sheep, but as wolves or goats. Now, there are many wolves and goats among so-called Christianity today. There's some here. They come and go. They come down here from a distance. There are those out there we cannot see with the naked eye. We don't know what their schemes and everything are, their plans. Of course, the Lord always allows things to happen, circumstances to happen, to where we can tell what they're doing and realize what they're doing. But they're wolves. Anyone who tries to destroy this ministry here that the Lord's given us, then God describes them as a bunch of wolves, goats. Now, those who are bucking and always kicking and fuming and fussing, they're just a bunch of goats. And they cannot live with the sheep. They're always going about trying to hurt. And so, David experienced that same situation in his day. He had among him goats and wolves. Now, a good shepherd goes before his sheep, and at the close of the day, he takes them into his fold. He takes care of them, protects them, and provides for them. The sheep knows the shepherd's voice and therefore follows him. If the Lord is my shepherd, I may conclude I shall not want. Now, let me get this thought. The sheep knows the shepherd's voice and therefore follows him. And praise the Lord, we have quite a few sheep here this morning who are following the shepherd's voice. Others were following us for a long time, for years. But they were not following the shepherd's voice. They were following other voices because they had other motives. And so therefore, because they're not following us today, the Lord unclothed them and showed them that they were a bunch of goats and a bunch of wolves trying to get in here to destroy the work. They'll never leave this ministry alone because this ministry won't let them alone. Now consider that. They're trying to get down to us from way up north. They're trying to get and infiltrate here, going around, questioning different people, trying to ruin their confidence in our late pastor, in this work. They're doing it all the time. We had one down here this week. The Lord just let me blast that young man and send him back home and tell him they're all a bunch of liars up there. You know you can't believe liars? A person that's a liar, you can't believe them? And those who go around manipulating and trying to get people to lose confidence in this ministry, in this work, they're just a bunch of liars. And the Lord gave me grace just to declare it like it was, I saw it. At the same time, gave me comfort and encouragement that He's my shepherd and that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will preserve us unto the end. You see, that's the great commission that God the Father gave our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? You think about that? He's our great shepherd. And we cannot be defeated. Weak as we may be, humble, helpless, we cannot be defeated. Because the great shepherd is with us and leading us. David said, I shall not want. My Lord is my shepherd.
will make all needful provisions for me. I shall be supplied with whatever I need. And if I have not everything I desire, then I conclude that there is a good reason why He would hold them from me. You ever stop to think about that? There's a good reason why He withholds many things from us. I praise the Lord. Many times He'll withhold health from us. He has a good reason for that. The word "shall not want" is not limited to just temporal necessities or to the present life. But the idea here is that God would provide all that was needed for all believers always. Psalms 34:9 tells us, "There is no want to them that fear Him." There is no want to them that fear Him. Think about it, my friends, my beloved saint. There is no want to them that fear Him. I want to read you something here that's blessed my heart. As my son plays the organ and the melody of it, I want to quote something to you from the Word of God, from the hymnal here, to know what a foundation that I rest upon, what a great shepherd I have. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He hath said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and I'll cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand. Isn't that wonderful? When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will be with thee, my child, thy trials to bless and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. And then, when through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace, all sufficient, shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Let's play that over again. Let's play that other.
Fear not, I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, and I'll still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand.
Yes, amen. Thank you, son. I was thinking about that all this week, knowing what a foundation, knowing he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And then even down through old age, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, as that verse of Scripture tells us in that second verse of Psalm 23. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, pastures of tender grass. The first shoots of vegetation is from the earth. That's what David had reference to. And the idea suggested here is a flock of sheep lying down on the grass, just in the soft, tender grass. Yet, there is another picture given here. It is that the flock lie down on the grass, fully fed, or satisfied. Now, their wants being completely satisfied. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that grace? And He supplies our wants. He does. He satisfies us with good things from Him. Now, in the green pastures the believers lie down in are the Scriptures of truth. Let's remember that. That's why I keep insisting over and over again, lie down in the Scriptures. Lie down in the Word of God. Listen, always, the Scriptures are always fresh. Always fresh. And you'll find the dew always fresh upon our Savior's brow. Yes, you certainly will. Always rich, surrounded by abundance of good things from the Word of God. And having satisfied our wants, lying down amidst God's unsearchable riches, with calm contentment, to be content with such things as the Word of God, with such things around us. Oh, you know, some people are nervous. They're discontented. They're just not satisfied. They've got to run here. They've got to run there. They've got to believe this. They have to believe that. And they're not contented. They're not satisfied. Oh, but when we come to the Word of God and they're basked in the sunshine there, governed by the Good Shepherd's hands upon us and caring for us, providing us for us, keeping us from the wolves, just thriving in the great promises of God's Word, where we delight. That's where we find contentment. Praise the Lord for it. I don't know what I'd do without the Word of God today. Without the Scriptures, without the comforts of the Scriptures. They're always fresh, always rich, and we're always surrounded by abundance from the Word of God. Listen, my friends, having satisfied our wants, we lie down amidst God's unsearchable riches with calm contentment. Sweet and full are the doctrines of the gospel. It is fit food for the soul, as tender grass is natural food or nutriment for sheep. To the wicked, the great abundance of the riches of God's grace is but a dry pasture. They see nothing in the Word of God. They don't see anything in the gospel, in that salvation you're talking about. They don't see any pleasures in that. What you're talking about, they think we're a bunch of crazy folks. and why are you getting all joyful and everything of something you don't see it, and it's not around you. You cannot handle it, and I don't see anything in it. Well, that's true. I never did either before God awakened me. And now He saved me. I see my pleasures in there. I see my comforts. I see my hope. I find my contentment. I find that I'm preserved unto the end in Christ Jesus. I find Him as my Lord, my Savior, who died for sinners. And then I find the description of myself in the Bible. It describes me as a lost, guilty sinner. And I find provisions of God's grace for me to admit that, to acknowledge it, and the power to do it with. And the only reason why that people scoff at the Bible today and will not believe it is because they have believed Satan's lie. Instead of believing God's truth. To the wicked, the great abundance of the riches of God's grace is but a dry pasture. There's nothing there to feed upon. But to the godly man who tastes of the goodness of God and all of His enjoyments, and by faith who has tasted that the Lord is gracious, though he has but little of the world's goods, it is a green pasture unto him, the Word of God. Does not make delight your soul? Does not rejoice you? We don't have a whole lot. Material things, riches, possessions. Oh, but what we've got from the Word of God. I've got that which delights me. Delights the new nature. And that new nature God's given us to feed upon. Unlike to feed upon the husk of the world, the sins of the world, the drunkenness of the world, the idolatry of the world, the pleasures of the world. They're coming, they're going. And you're going with it unless you're in Christ. But, oh, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you come to feed upon the Paschal Lamb. Feed upon God's sacrifice. And there you find nourishment for that new nature in Christ. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Do you know that? Psalms 37:16. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. But we are rich in Christ. That man out there who knows nothing about Christ, he doesn't know how poor he is, though he may have wealth untold as far as this world is concerned. But if you know not Christ, you're a pauper, though you may have millions. As Proverbs 15:16-17 tells us, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. The good shepherd makes his saints to lie down. He gives them quiet and contentment in their own minds, whatever their lot is. Their souls dwell at ease in Him, and that makes every pasture green. Go through it. Go through the Word of God. Every pasture is green in the Word of God. And His soul delights in them. Yes, it does. It doesn't matter what their lot is. He finds quiet and contentment in His mind. Their souls dwell at ease in Him, and that makes every pasture green. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Isaiah 26:3. You get that verse of Scripture, my friends? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. O saint of God, lie down in the promises and enjoy the riches of Christ. May we all say, this is my sweet rest forever. Can we say that this morning? This is my sweet rest forever.
You want rest for your soul? Lie down on the promises of God. Swim in them. Rest in them. Like someone was telling me this morning early. Did you listen to the broadcast last Sunday? How the Lord showed her something. And then she said, from that time on, I was delighting myself in the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Feeding upon the promises of God. Always concerned about others. But now, concerned about herself, feeding upon the promise of God. Had a letter from Mississippi, from Gulf Coast, telling me how that message went home to their heart last Sunday. And how what the Lord showed them. I praise the Lord for what He's doing. Getting sinners' eyes off of everything. Dropping every idol. And looking unto the Lord. Being taken up with Him. And the promises of His Word. This final thought on this portion of Scripture. I'm going to have to close after this. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Listen, it is the Lord who graciously enables us to understand the preciousness of His Word, of His truth, and feed upon it. He grants us power to appropriate the promises. Perhaps there are souls here this day that know know the blessedness of the promises, but you cannot say that this blessedness is yours. You said, I don't enjoy them. I know they're there. But I haven't actually enjoyed the blessedness, the contentment of them, and feeding upon them. All right. Well, that's what you. This is the purpose of this message this morning, is to turn your thoughts, to turn your heart, that new nature God's given you, into the pasture green, and feed upon the promises of God, and lie there and bask in the sunlight of those promises. And rely upon them completely. In other words, you know the green pastures, the promises of God, but you are unable to lie down in them. Now, that is, appropriate the promises to your heart. May God, the Holy Spirit, grant you faith and power that will enable you, my friend, to lie down in green pastures quietly with calm contentment. And though all others may forsake you, there you are, lying down in the Word of God, resting upon the eternal promises that He's made real to your heart with assurance. Some not to the full extent, the full assurance, but then others, you know, yes, I have assurance, somewhat assurance, but then growing to that full knowledge and assurance in Christ. Now, there's another part to the Christian life. David said, we're not always lying down to feed, but as we are journeying on towards perfection, growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. How this time has fled from us this morning. But I want to take up, next Sunday, we'll continue with the 23rd Psalm. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I just have a little bit. I may continue it here after we close out. It's not much. Now, we'll have to leave in Radio Land. Tune in next Sunday, the 7 to 8 Voice of Truth broadcast, the 10 to 11 Bible School of the Air, and the 11 to 12 Worship Hour. It was good being with you this morning. May God bless your heart, and you'll find your comforts and encouragement in Christ, in His Word. Goodbye. God bless you. Now, this last thought here. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, how does God lead His people? How does God lead His people? He leads them by His providence, as He led us ever since the time we were born into this world, kept us through the years. And then after us, He continues to preserve us. He leads us by His providence, by His Word, no other way, by the Word of God, by His Holy Spirit. He directs their way and their heart into His love. He does. He leadeth me beside the still waters, not stagnant waters, not tempestuous nor stormy waters, but water so calm, so gentle, and so still. You know, still water, they say, runs deep. I often think about the mercies of God, the love of God. It runs deep. It does. There's no depth to the love of God. There's no depth to His mercy. He has enough for everyone. There's no depth to the grace of God, the love of God. Oh, the depths both of the riches and of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives His people repose, which means rest and peace. He gives them drink from the water of life when they are thirsty and weary. Now, who is the water of life? Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives them the bread of heaven for food when they are hungry, and pleasures from His right hand. The consolations of God, the joys of the Holy Spirit, are these still waters by which flow from the fountain of living waters. God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Isn't that wonderful? Some on the mountain, some in the valley. God leads His dear children along. We are driven by the law to Christ, but our blessed Shepherd leads us by His example and the gentle drawings of His love. Isn't that wonderful? Driven by the Lord of Christ. The law is a schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. And then in Christ, as our Lord, our Savior, then we come to know His love as the Shepherd. The love of the Shepherd over His sheep. Come to recognize that when... Well, probably we didn't know a whole lot about being a sheep before He saved us. But after He saves us, then we become a sheep. And then the sheep need a shepherd, don't they? And then He undertakes that position, that office, as the great shepherd. Because every sheep needs a shepherd. And God's people, the church, needs a shepherd. And then when the great shepherd appears, isn't that wonderful? He's coming back. Though He guards us here, preserves us, and gives us comfort in trials, and love, and gives us repose, tranquility, heart and mind, but He takes care of us here. But then when our great shepherd appears, and that's going to be wonderful when we see Him, and He'll not be satisfied until He gets us all home to the glorious fold where we're joining Him. See, we're not only lying down, but we're journeying. We're going towards the fold. That heavenly fold that He's prepared for us in the heavens. Yes, this last thought again. We are driven by the law, but our blessed Shepherd leads us by His example and the gentle drawings of His love. May God lead us and keep us and direct every one of our hearts and minds in the Word of God, in the green pastures, and there we can feed upon the eternal promises of God that are yea and amen in Christ. God lead us. God keep us. God preserve us from all of our enemies. And God, let us delight ourselves in Him and find contentment and satisfaction, and He shall provide our wants. And I believe that the believer's wants are God's wants. You want nothing in the part of Christ. You don't want anything that God does not want you to have and will allow you to have.
You ask it according to His will. I'm glad you came this morning. You listened. And I'm glad you did. I hope it blessed your heart. And I hope I've been able to say some things and turn your minds and your heart unto the Lord. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, this morning, praise Thy holy name as our great Shepherd who loves the sheep, who takes care of us and preserves us and will until the end. Our Father, bless the Word. Oh, may we hear from thousands, our Lord, who have taken courage and comfort in Christ, who have fled to Christ for refuge. And our Lord Jesus, we thank Thee for being our great Shepherd. And Lord, help us to be the sheep that we ought to be, that You desire for us to be contented, and to be calm in soul and mind, and to rest in Thy love and rejoice in Thee. Keep us and bring us back tonight for the study of Thy Word. Give us Thy message. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.